chapter 4. And I'm going to show you something here in the Bible. And then the kids are going to come back in and do something for us before we go tonight. Now, I appreciate y'all having these kids here on Wednesday night. It's important. If they're going to have a part in the youth rally, we need them here. And we are planning on getting them special shirts made up, too. So make sure they're here, in their spot, in their place, ready to sing. Learn. Some of them have done learned their parts. It's funny. It's going to be good. So don't forget that. All right, Genesis chapter 4. Look at it in your Bible. There's a strange thing happened in Genesis 4. Very strange thing. And we notice for the first time, the Bible mentions prayer. Genesis 4. Nothing mentioned in 1. Nothing mentioned in 2. Man fell in chapter 3. And in chapter 4, look at the very last verse. 26, I believe. Very last verse. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That was a long time ago. That old boy had a son, and for some, I don't know how it happened, but it made him call on the name of the Lord, having that baby. And having kids will make you call on the name of the Lord. Amen. You realize what a responsibility they are. And so tonight, we've been talking about fasting for 2 or 3 weeks. Tonight, we're going to talk about it's twin prayer. Prayer and fasting. It does no good to fast if we don't pray too. All that is like a hunger strike or a strict diet. The purpose in fasting is to get our hearts all right so that our prayers will be answered. All right, all you girls, teenage girls, all you parents, everybody's fasting, right? You've been fasting? If you haven't, feel guilty. Say like, man, I need to help. It's like us trying to move this pulpit. And I say, will y'all help me? If everybody pitches in and help, we can get the job done. So whatever God lays on your heart that day. Look, it ain't but 3 more weeks, y'all. It's going to be over before you know it. And then you're going to say, thank God I did. Don't just think about me, my flesh, and what I want all the time. That's a terrible way to live. The youth rally will come and go, and you'll be left out. So, fact. Now, let me say one thing about fasting, then we're going to talk about prayer. When we fast, make absolutely, positively sure that we're fasting for God's glory and His will to be done. No, you can't help but think this is doing me good. That's fine. You can't help but think that. But you know what I'm saying. We don't fast to impress people. We don't fast so we can go brag about. That ain't the reason we do it. It's private. It's between us and the Lord. None of nobody else's business. And we do it for the glory of God and His will to be done in our lives. Don't even try to impress God. Don't try to impress God. He's not impressed. You get down and say, Lord, I just want you to know I mean business. Have mercy on me and help me. That's the attitude to fast with. All right. We're going to talk about prayer tonight. And prayer is the same thing. Prayer is not giving God instructions. Prayer is not... Have you heard these TV preachers get on there, and I've heard some of them, Lord have mercy. They'll get on there and say, I command you in the name of... You know. And I heard one of them talking to money one day. He was talking to money on radio. He said, I command you $20 bills. And I command you, come in. And I thought, you reckon that money can hear him talk? He you know what he was doing? He was praying, hoping somebody out there would feel guilty and send him $20. That is not the purpose of prayer. Have you ever tried to preach a little sermon to somebody while you was praying? Like your wife? All right, husband? Now, Lord, I pray you'd help us and help these people that you know how they are. Yeah, that you're supposed to be talking to. You ever done that? Don't raise your hand. But just about every one of us at some time or another have prayed, trying to get a message to our kids, subliminal message to one of our kids or something, you know, like, and God help these poor men to learn how to be better husbands, you know, or something like that. You're not talking to God. You're saying, I hope he hears this and he feels awful. You know, go in your room and say, God help him. But you're not giving God instructions, and you are not, it's not like God is a errand boy. You don't just fill out a sheet of paper and say, here, get me this. Prayer is laying hold of God's willingness. Can you understand that? Prayer is laying hold of God's willingness. It is not us trying to talk Him into agreeing with us. It is getting ourselves in a shape so He can do what He wants to do. Have you ever seen how... Think about how dumb this sounds. God, please save lost souls. God, please save lost souls. God, listen, God wants lost souls to be saved more than we do. We're not trying to talk Him into saving somebody. He wants to. You say, well, why do we pray that? We pray God send conviction on somebody and convict them, and He'll do that in answer to prayer. And He'll work in us to get them under conviction. God will not. I know people that think, well, I'll pick out old so-and-so and pray for him, buddy. He's had it. God, he'll get saved. No, he ain't neither. That person can reject God. God will not save a person against their will. You can't say, Lord, save that man. I claim him saved. I mean, you might do that, but God will not overstep that person's free will. I've had people ask me, they'll say, Brother Danny, I prayed for my brother 20 years. How come he ain't saved? I said, because he's got a free will and he can reject the Lord. He can reject him. Now, you've got to admit tonight, the Lord ain't going... Now, the Lord will make him wish he was saved. And the Lord will put things in his path to detour him. And he'll beat him half to death to get him to repent. But he will not force a person to be saved. Now, am I saying it's a waste of time to pray for people to be saved? Absolutely not. You should pray it all the time. History is full of cases where women prayed for their husbands for 20 and 30 and 40 years and they finally got in. I'm a firm believer in it. But it's always when they respond to the Lord, not when He overpowers them and drags them in kicking and screaming. You say, well, what's using praying then if it's up to them? The praying, it brings the Holy Ghost conviction on them. You know why I got saved? I got saved because Holy Ghost conviction settled over Nebo. It did. And they prayed that down. I didn't have to get saved. I could have said no. Don't these preachers go around saying, boy, the Holy Ghost hemmed me up and I couldn't resist. Yes, you can too. You can say no to God. You can. And in Acts he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. You can resist it. There's no such thing as irresistible grace, and there's no such thing as irresistible conviction. There ain't no such thing. When a man says, the high sheriff of heaven hemmed me up and I couldn't say no. Yes, you could say no too. Yes, you could. That's unscriptural language. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We pray for conviction. We pray for God's dealing with people. We pray. You ever seen that movie, Sheffy? Y'all have never seen the movie Sheffy, one of the greatest movies ever been made, Sheffy, about the old circuit riding Methodist preacher. I think they got it back there. It's Billy Kelly's in that movie. And Robert Sheffy was a circuit riding Methodist preacher. It's a true story. Man, he prayed. This old guy had a steel up on the hill. Down here, old mountain man had a steel. Billy Kelly run the steel in the movie. It's funny. He said, Lord, let a mighty oak tree fall on this steel and crush it. And he started laughing. He said, there ain't an oak tree within 100 yards of this place. You're crazy. Preacher, go on. Well, that night, it come a big storm, and lightning went pow! And straight up a mountain, there was an oak tree. And it was 100 yards away, but it was straight up. And it cracked that thing, and down that hill it came and smashed that steel. It sure did. And that's true. Stuff like that happens. So, we ought to pray. And we ought to pray believing. And we ought to pray expecting God to do something. And we ought to pray saying, You know what I've been praying? I've been praying God give us the greatest youth rally it's ever been. Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, don't you think that's selfish? No, I think God pray that. Everybody ought to pray that. Everybody ought to pray that for every revival. You ought to pray the greatest revival it's ever been. We ought to pray something would happen that night and those nights that would go back to Ohio, people's coming from Ohio, go back to Kentucky, go back to Florida, and start by, it's happened before. It's happened before. There's one church in Florida that was literally transformed because of the youth rally. The kids come, they got the touch of that fire, the Holy Ghost, they went back, they stood up, started giving testimonies, and that revival spirit swept the whole church. It happened before, it can happen again. That's what we need to pray for. Not just to have some good services, I want to have good services. But I don't want to pray. I want us to pray that the Lord would do something there that would spread back to other places. You know, you set a little fire here and a little fire there and set another little fire there, and ain't no telling what the Lord might do. So prayer is the greatest God-given privilege that we have. The greatest privilege we have is to be able to have an audience with God. You name me, somebody name me a greater privilege than us being able to talk to God, the one that made the oceans. I mean, think about that. He who waits on God shall not want any good. God will take care of every need you have if you'll trust Him and come to Him. Now, let me say a few things about prayer tonight. I'm going to do this tonight, next Wednesday night. If you got a sin in your heart that you're struggling with, praying is the way to knock that thing down. The best way I know how to say it is like sin grows up in your heart like this plant, like weeds grow up in your yard, and you take Roundup and spray it on them. I sprayed some around my house the other day. It wasn't Roundup, something I bought at Walmart. It's a cheaper version of Roundup. And I sprayed it around there. A couple of days later, sure enough, that grass was dead all the way around there. Now, unless you get some powerful stuff, them roots ain't dead. It'll come back, more come up. You're not going to get rid of sin completely in your life forever till you die. Right? I mean, it ain't going to happen. Anybody who tells you they've eradicated sin obviously is overlooked something. Amen. That you are not going to completely get all the sin out of you forever. But I tell you what we can do. We can keep spraying it and keep spraying it and keep it down so it don't control us. Now, we all have a sinful nature, and you've all got something in you that responds to sin. Everybody in here has a nature in you. For certain sin, you respond to it. Some sins may not bother you. Some may bother us. I know men right now. They say, Brother Danny, when I walk by and I see a beer sign, and it says, my mouth waters. It says, I could drink a gallon of it. And then other people say, I can walk right by it and not even think about it. But they have something else that bothers them. So they say, maybe a temptation to steal money or to do who knows what or some other kind of wicked sin. We all have that in us. So what we got to do is keep it sprayed down. And the way you spray it down is pray. Pray. You've heard me say, if you've got a sin, if you have an addiction, I'm going to be talking about that. I got some good stuff on addiction. If you're addicted to tobacco, if you're addicted to alcohol, any kind of drug, anything that you're addicted to, your body's addicted to, I'll promise you, you get down and you pray and get your heart right, and 5 minutes a day, say, Lord, help me with just that one thing. God, help me, God, help me, God, help. Do that for about a month, 5 minutes a day. I promise you. You may not kill it, but you'll beat it down. Guarantee it. I guarantee. I don't care what it is. I don't care what temptation you have. What we was talking about addictions, and we was talking about food, and everybody fasting. And one of my daughters, I was kidding them. I said, I want y'all to give a nosebook addiction testimony at the youth rally. Would you do that? And very funny, Daddy. And I said, you're addicted to nosebook. Would you give a testimony on your addiction? And then one of them sent me a text the other day, and she said, I need to go to food rehab. And I said, yes, sir, you sure do. She fasted and made it to about 12:30 that day. Which means the first time you got hungry, you eat. That's what that means. That's really a fast, man. But she said, I need to go to food rehab. I said, you want to give a testimony? Give a testimony at the youth rally of your addiction to food. I'm just kidding. I'm really not going to have testimonies like that. We're going to have some of Oxycontin, Oxycodones, and Xannies and Nannies and all them kind of, whatever them things are. Perkies and all them. But you know what? You're addicted. You're addicted. Where your body, your flesh is natured so you can get addicted to anything. 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 They say that anything you do for 30 days straight habitually becomes a habit and a part of life. So make up your mind what you should be doing and try it 30 days in a row. But anyway, prayer will kill that sin in your life. When you begin to pray, you begin to put away sin. It is impossible to read your Bible and pray and keep sinning on purpose. You will quit reading or you will quit praying. Have you ever seen in front of somebody's Bible, this book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book? That's true. You read that Bible enough, you'll quit your sinning or you'll quit your Bible reading. You'll not do them both. Hey, something about that book that blows sin out. Somebody said that the New Testament, TNT, dynamite. The New Testament. You keep reading that book enough, it'll blow sin out of your life. All right? Prayer is the way we obtain strength. Strength. When you know you need strength, like I know that I need physical strength, mental strength, youth rally, I've had people ask me, they'll say, Brother Danny, if you've never preached, I don't know if this would be blasphemy or not, but you ought to try it. Everybody ought to try to preach sometime. Try it sometime. She can. I've heard her. But it's harder than you think. I think it's easier for women. But they try to preach sometime. Set your kids down and preach them a little sermon. I'm telling you, man, it sometimes you feel, honestly, it feels like there's a big thick wall between me and y'all. It's that thick. And I can see you, and you can't hear a word I'm saying, and everything I'm saying is bouncing right back in my face. And then other times, buddy, it feels like I'm cutting butter with a chainsaw. Vroom, vroom, vroom. And you can't figure it out. And the only way I know how to do it right is pray. I've had people ask me, they said, Brother Danny, it's hard enough just to keep your thoughts straight and preach. They said, how in the world do you hold a remote control in one hand and show a video and stop and comment? And I said, I don't know, but it'll make you nuts. I know that. I know when you get through, when I get through, I feel like, whew, Lord have mercy. You feel like you've been in a fight. That's the way it feels. I know I was fasting one time at the youth rally, and we had hamburgers, and I'd fasted some that week, and that day, that Saturday. And when I got through that Saturday night, I was wringing wet like I'd been swimming. I was sweating so much. And I was standing there weak, and somebody brought me a plate and said, here, Brother Danny. And buddy, I'm telling you, I took that hamburger and I went, that was the best hamburger I've ever ate in my life. That's better than Fats, better than Fuddruckers, better than and that was the best hamburger I've ever ate in my life. I don't think I took two bites. And I went, kill that Pepsi and eat a Reese cup. I was starving. But you know what? When we give ourselves to the Lord like that, God uses us, and it's not us. It's not our strength. It's His strength. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Prayer is the way you get strength. I've heard people say, man, I don't see how they can stand to go through what they're going through. They pray their way through. The old song said, I prayed my way out of trouble. Pray. You spend some time in prayer. By the way, y'all can ask questions if you want to. If anybody wants to add or help me, I use all I can get. Prayer is the way you obtain strength. You know what happened when old Peter was in jail? The church prayed and God got him out. You know what people do when somebody gets in chains now? Gossip about them. Instead of praying for them, we all start gossiping. Well, I think this, and I don't agree with that, and I don't like that. But when somebody in the church is bound up in some kind of sin, we ought to pray for them like the church did Peter, and God will deliver them. God will deliver them. And so we need to pray for each other. Prayer is the help giver. It brought the angel of the Lord for his deliverance. It'll clear your mind up. When you got to make a decision, the most important thing in the world to do is pray. Is pray when you got a big decision to make. I don't care if it's your job. I don't care if it's buying a house, changing something to do with your children, college, marriage, whatever it is, you better pray. You better pray. You know what I do when I pray about stuff like that? I say, Lord, it really don't matter what I want. You know what's best. And God, all I can do is I beg you to help me do the right thing. If I'm doing the wrong thing, stop me. You'll never go wrong praying a prayer. You know what? I know people that said, well, I don't want to pray about that because they know what the Lord's going to tell them. You think He's wrong? You think God's going to tell you something that's bad for you? Now, we have a tendency to be like that. When we got our heart set on something, we say, I don't know, I don't want to pray about that because we know what we want. Listen, brother, I've learned the hard way. Sometimes what you want ain't always what's best. God knows what's best for you. All you young people, especially young ladies and all that, you know what, as far as a boyfriend and marriage, you know what you better pray? You better pray, Lord, don't let me make a mistake. I beg you, I beg you. I don't care if you got to break his leg. I don't care what you got to move him to California. God, just don't let me make a mistake. Pray that all the time. Lord, I ain't got enough sense to know the future. I don't know what the nerd's going to do. He might be a good, he might be the devil. I don't know. God, don't let me make a mistake. I beg you, don't let me make a mistake. And pray that and mean it. Mean it from your heart. Same way about anything. Going to college, buying a house, moving, new job. You better beg God. You better beg God. Because if you don't think the devil will throw you a curve, you just got another thing coming, son. He can throw it just like that, and you'll come weeping back 20 years later with a whole lot of baggage. Anybody want to say something right there? There's cussing there too. I don't doubt that. I would like to sing that. I'd like to see Skyla do that. Oh, Lord. They pick it up. Pick it up. Kids, that's why you need to take kids to the right kind of church. They need to know how to shout. They need to know how to raise their hand, praise God, and pray. We used to have this little boy one time. He's about that high. And he was going to preach like me. And they give him a Bible. We'd done a youth rally or something. I forgot. He had a tie and a Bible like that. And he stood up there and he'd say, open your Bibles to that. He was Brother Danny. And he's about that high. And he got like this. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And wait like that. And he's done pretty good there. Malachi used to do that whenever we called him outside. He was on the stupid table and he could learn Bible verses. He would give him the same Bible verses. Amen. That's good. That's good. Now you go to the wrong kind of church, ain't no little boy wants to get up there and do what that fella does. No. Guy gets up there and says, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Amen. Little boy goes, he imagines robbers coming in the church and he beating them up, you know, and everything. He ain't going to want to do that when he grows up. Amen. Nobody does. I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to do that. Lord have mercy. Get you a real job, man. Amen. Anybody else right quick? All right, let's talk about praying, y'all. Prayer is the love inspirer. Having a problem loving somebody. I never, ever, ever have problems with people, like getting aggravated with people, mad at people and stuff. But I'm telling you, the last 2 weeks, I don't know if it's because we've been fasting more. It seems like there's been two or three, and none of them go to our church, but at least two people. One of them was at the power company, and the other one was acquainted with, and God done me really bad and cheated me out of a bunch of money, and I got mad. Just like last week. And I got mad. Brother Danny, Mr. Cool here. You know, that's why I'm supposed to be able to handle everything. I got in a flesh. And man, I wanted to wring that guy's neck. And he's twice bigger than I was, but I still wanted to wring his neck. And I thought, oh man. And I thought, I shouldn't let stuff get to me like that. I shouldn't let stuff like that get to me. So the woman that worked at the power company, I called her back to apologize. And I didn't do anything ugly or nothing, but she could tell I was upset. They tried to bill me about a $400 fine on power bill from my neighbor down on my mom's, where my mom's property was. And I won't go into big detail, but it involved like $400. And I said, I didn't even know this, ma'am. Do I have to pay this? She said, yes, you do, sir. And I said, but I didn't even know it. Shouldn't I have been? I'm sorry, sir. And when she did that, it was like, you know, a little smart mouth thing. And I said, ma'am, I don't mind paying what I owe. I pay my bills on time. I'm never late. But shouldn't I have been? She said, sir, you are responsible for this. And I said, well, okay then. I stood up. I said, okay. And I cussed her out. No, I didn't. But she could tell I was upset. And I went down the road. And I come down the interstate. And I had hate in my mouth. I thought, that guy burnt me for $500. And my car, my Lexus, 74,000 miles. They don't never tire up. That makes the fourth one I've had in there. It started going. Poof, poof, poof. I said, oh my goodness. Take it to the garage. There's a coil gone bad in it. And I don't even know what it's going to cost me yet. The coil cost $100. Not no labor, nothing. 5 minutes after I acted like that. So y'all don't have to worry about me getting away with nothing. When I do something wrong, I know the Lord gets me every time. Do you feel like that? And it's you say, oh, it would have happened anyway. Now, if it had been my 4Runner or something, I'd have thought, well, it's time. You know, it's got 274,000 miles on a Lexus. They don't tire up. A coil? But so there went another $300 probably. And I thought, I shouldn't. So I got my phone out and called over there, and the lady was busy, and I left my number to call me back. She didn't call me back till the next day. Well, I still ain't got to apologize to her. I was going to apologize to her. I thought, my goodness, if I was a bad testament, what'd you say?
I'm scared.
Yeah, she probably was scared to call me. I think she knew as a preacher. I'm almost sure she did. If it had been Marion, I know she would have, but it was in Morganton. But anyway, I've had that happen twice in the last 3 weeks, and I don't ever get like that. No matter what time, I can be a gentleman to anybody. They can hurt my feelings. I might have bad feelings, but I can hide it. Man, I let it go on her. That ain't right. That ain't right. When you're a bad testimony, you can expect, maybe I was fasting or something. You know when you're fasting, you have less patience? Do y'all get like, you get a little bit grouchy? Yeah. Well, he deserved it. I did get mad at the referee at the ball game. Got a tech called on me. What did I say to him? I'm bleeding. That's what I said. God knocked me down and beat on me. I said, I'm bleeding. Ref went, tick. And I went. No, I didn't. But and I apologized to him within 10 minutes. But you know what? You can expect the devil. You can expect the devil to throw something at you. So prayer is the love inspire. Are you mad at somebody? Pray, Lord, help me love them.
Brother, I have to be laid up in prayer for hours before I can fast. I normally am an agitated person anyway.
Yeah.
I go without heat.
That makes it worse.
I can literally rip somebody's throat. I feel demons possessed.
It probably does. The devil probably gets on. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to pray before and during, especially. Anybody else? Well, it's only one sin if you just think it. It's two if you go ahead and say it. Yeah, in a nice way, I guess. It's like somebody said, if I don't want to give my money, and I give it with the wrong intention, shouldn't I just keep it? No. That's two sins. Go ahead and give it, and that's just one sin, not wanting to. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Anybody else? Maybe that's why everybody's so grouchy at the youth rally. Let's get all our fasting done and over with. In the youth rally, we can all be nice. I'm going to preach a sermon on that, hopefully, pretty soon. Don't get the devil in you at the youth rally. Because every year people get mad. Because it's hot and everybody run over top of each other and we're trying to cook and we're trying to clean up and we're trying to, you know, and y'all, and everybody feels like I'm doing it all by myself. Nobody's helping me. We all feel like it. Amen. A temper is something that you've got to learn how to, you know. Bible said be angry and sin not. Wouldn't give you a dime for a man that couldn't get mad over something. Amen. Bless your heart, sister. That's a good confession. It is. When somebody really does you wrong, and I mean really done, when you're talking about a spousal situation or, you know, in a marriage or something, sometimes it takes years.
Yeah.
Years to really, really, really. I mean, I've heard people say, I forgive them. But boy, when they have something bad happen to them, it tickles them to death. And, you know, it takes years sometimes to really, really put that away. Yeah. Amen. You have to. You have to. You have to. I don't know how we got off. Oh, prayer is the way to love somebody that you wouldn't really love. Brother Mike, would you tell Carrie to tell them to come on? We're ready for them. They're going to take about the last 5 minutes here and do a song for us. Does anybody else want to say anything? I want to really encourage you. Pray, y'all. Pray, pray, pray. Spend time in prayer. I had a preacher in Florida tell me, he said he'd been praying an hour a day. An hour a day. And I've had others tell me we're that are fasting regular. We got some people doing extra fast.
Praise the Lord.
And so we're excited about that. But I want y'all to pray, pray, and pray, and pray, and pray some more. I hope that you will. I really hope that you will. The Lord will bless you for it. They're going to be coming in here now.